Shall we turn in our Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3? This is the portion of the word that we're studying this week. Third chapter of Lamentations. Tonight we'll be looking at the entire chapter. This morning we'd like to be sort of centering in on verses 21 to 24. Where Jeremiah said, when I recall to my mind these things, I have hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Mercy, compassion, those marvelous characteristics of God. But the prophet had just seen the other side of God's nature. God is faithful, God is merciful, God is compassionate. But the other side of the nature of God is that he is righteous and that he is just. And in righteousness and in justice, he will bring his judgment against the wicked. And Jeremiah has just seen the judgment of God visited upon the nation of Judah. He has seen God in righteousness destroy the city of Jerusalem and the inhabitants. In the first of the chapter, first verse, he said, I am a man that has seen the affliction by the rod of his wrath. I have seen God punish the people for their wickedness. He saw the indiscriminate slaying of the populace there in Jerusalem, the young children, as well as the aged, being slain by the Babylonians. He saw the temple of God profaned and then destroyed. He saw the fires as it consumed the rubble of the city. And now he sits there viewing the remains, the silence of death hanging over the place. It appears that God has become an enemy rather than a friend of his people. As he declares, surely he has turned against me. Verse 3. He has led into darkness and he has shut out the light. He has surrounded me with bitterness and travail. He has set me in the dark place of the dead from whence there is no escape. He has torn like a bear or like a lion. He has bent his bow and made us the target of his arrows. And his arrow pierced, he said, my heart. And he has broken my teeth with gravel stones. Talking of that judgment of God that he has seen come upon the people, as though God has turned against them. God has made them the target of his anger, his arrows. And as he sees the nation destroyed, the judgment of God, he feels that he has drunk the cup of bitterness. He speaks about being drunken with wormwood. Wormwood was an extremely bitter. The drink that was made of wormwood was as bitter as anything you could ever imagine. And wormwood is often used as a symbol for complete bitterness in the Bible. He felt that he had lost touch with God. When I cry unto God, when I shout unto God, he doesn't listen, he said, to my prayers. And thus, there was that tremendous turmoil that was going on inside. The dark side. And sometimes we have feelings as though God has turned his hand against us, that our prayers are of no avail, that it seems like everything is going wrong. And there is a cup of bitterness that we've been forced to drink. And the prophet ends this first portion in just this darkness and hopelessness. But suddenly, there's a total change. Beginning with verse 21, there comes a complete change in the whole attitude, in the whole perspective. When I recall this to my mind, I have hope. Now, the situation looks totally hopeless. But when I think about this, there is hope. What are the things that bring comfort and hope to the prophet who sees the hopeless desolation of Jerusalem? First of all, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I really deserve much worse than what I have experienced. If I really got what was coming to me, I would have been destroyed. The fact that I'm still here is an indication of God's mercy. So the mercies of God are that which have spared me complete destruction. And then he began to think of the compassions of God. Because his compassions, they fail not. One of the beautiful aspects of God's nature is his compassion, his understanding. The Bible says he knows our frame. He knows we're but dust. You see, our problem is that so often we think we're supermen. Super saints. You know, we put on our cape and we're going to go out and conquer the world. I'm super saint. I will save, you know. And we then fail so miserably. We stumble, we fall. And we had such high hopes, such great ambitions, what I'm going to do for God, and the whole thing just seems to crumble. And we're so discouraged, we're so disappointed with ourselves. But God wasn't disappointed with you. We imagine that he is. But he wasn't, and he isn't. Because the Bible says he knows our frame. He knows we're but dust. He knows what you're made of. That you're just but dust. And God did not expect any more from you. And God, because he knows you're dust, has compassion. He has understanding and compassion. Look through the New Testament, how many times it speaks of Jesus looking at a needy person. And as he looked upon that person's need, we read, and Jesus was moved with compassion towards them. As he saw the multitudes and they were just wandering sort of aimlessly, there was no real purpose in life and they were just sort of existing, it says, and Jesus was moved with compassion towards them because he saw them as a sheep without a shepherd. There was no guidance, there was no direction for them. One of the beautiful aspects of God's nature is his compassion. And the prophet said, his compassions, they fail not. He never ceases to have that compassion for us. Now, Jeremiah said not only that his compassions did not fail, but he said they are new every morning. It seems to me that God is just seeking every morning to demonstrate his love to me in a new and a special way. He's so loving. And every morning, God is just awakening with the awareness of his love and of his goodness towards his children. God's compassion, they fail not. They're new every morning. Now, this is, remember, in light of this terrible destruction of Jerusalem. The judgment that's hanging like a pale over Jerusalem. In light of that, he is speaking of the mercies of God and the compassion of God. It seems like they are mitigated against by the very conditions that he is observing in the ruins of the city. But you see, the judgment of God never comes until every means of God's grace has been exhausted. It is like having to stand before a judge who loves you and is doing everything possible to let you off, looking for just any excuse or reason to pardon your guilt. And God is just that way. He's merciful, he's compassionate, and he's looking for just any reason to show his mercy, to reveal his love. And it is only when the love of God has been rejected and rejected over and over again that ultimately, God in righteousness must judge. In faithfulness, he must judge. And so the third characteristic of God that brought comfort to the soul of the prophet was the faithfulness of God. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, even in judgment, God was faithful in keeping his word. For years, God had been promising that if these people did not turn from their sin, if they did not turn from their evil practices, that the Babylonian army would come and destroy them. And Jeremiah had been telling them this for 40 years. He had been telling them so long that they were finally beginning to mock him. They said, oh, come on, you know, you've been saying that for years. Change the tune, man. You've gone stale. And they were deriding the prophet. He said, I was the object of their songs. Carson was making fun of him every night on TV. Because he had made these statements over and over for so long that people just sort of ignored now the prophet and the warnings from God. But God kept his word. And the faithfulness of God was demonstrated even in the destruction of the city, because this is exactly what God said would happen if the people did not turn from their evil ways, from which they did not turn. And thus, even in the judgment, there was the faithfulness of God manifested. There's one thing that you can be sure of in life, and that is that God will keep his word. His promises are true. The Bible says that because he is God, with him it is yes, so be it. It's not going to change. He will keep his word. You can be sure of that. Now, that should either strike terror in your heart or bring you great rejoicing. It all depends on where you are. You see, if you've set your heart against God and the things of God, you can be sure then that God will keep his promises and you will face his judgment. But if you are following after God, if you've turned your heart over to God, if you're seeking the Lord and seeking to walk after him, then you can be sure that God has forgiven your sins and that you are a child of God because of your believing in Jesus Christ, and that you have eternal life, that God is going to minister to you his strength and his help. So three aspects of the nature of God brought comfort to the troubled soul of the prophet. God is merciful, God is compassionate, and God is faithful. So he concludes, it's good to be on the Lord's side. It's good to be on that side of the fence. He witnessed the righteous judgment of God against the wicked. He has seen what sin can do, the devastation that sin will bring to a nation or to a person. It destroys. And so it's good, he said, that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Good to just hope in God and to wait for the salvation. Hoping for the salvation of the Lord. You know, I sort of feel sorry for those who are hoping in the government to save us from the problems. I feel even a greater sympathy for those that are hoping in the promises of the politicians. Isn't it interesting how people will believe the promises the politicians make, and yet they say, well, I have a hard time believing the promises of God, you know. Next time you hear the politician speak, just ask yourself, would I buy a used car from that man? It's good to hope in the salvation of the Lord. I view with pity the man who is seeking to save himself. Daily our prayer should be, Lord, save our nation. Lord, save our schools. Lord, save our families. And it's good for a man to just quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now, there is a commandment in the Bible that I seem to be constantly breaking. I don't know, I try, but I have the hardest time with this commandment, and I seem to break it all the time. It's that commandment in Psalm 37 that says, fret not yourself because of evildoers and the men that bring wicked devices to pass. But I'm always fretting over men like Jerry Brown or Ted Kennedy or Norman Lear. When I begin to see the effect of their influence in our society, in our world, and I begin to fret. Look what they're doing. Look what's happening to us. Because of their stands and positions and their godlessness. But the Bible tells me not to fret. But I plead guilty. I do fret. But the question is God in control of things or not? And the reason why I fret is I forget that God is in control. That things only happen as God allows them to happen. And man is not so powerful that he has wrested the control out of God's hand. And when I think about that, then I quit fretting. But I forget that. When I read the newspaper or whatever, I think, oh, no, can't be, you know. What's the matter with them, you know? And I begin to fret. And then I get into the Word and I realize God is merciful, compassionate, and faithful, and all that. Then I settle down again. I guess the cure would be just quit watching the news. But you can't be like an ostrich. You can't just hide yourself from the facts. But you can turn to the Lord and to the Word of God. And you can find that comfort and that strength in the fact that God is merciful. If it weren't for His mercy, we would have been consumed. God is compassionate. Compassionate towards His people. Towards even a world that is in rebellion against Him and is giving it every opportunity to turn and to repent. But God is faithful. He's faithful in keeping His word, both to those who disobey and to those who do obey. And God will keep His promises to you, one way or the other. It all depends on where you are in relationship to him. Jeremiah found comfort. He found hope. It's just good to hope in the salvation of the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, help us that we might quietly wait upon you. As we look at the conditions of our world, may we not fret over the evildoers. But Lord, may our hearts rest in you and the comfort and the hope of the Word. Lord, reading of the riots in Los Angeles and reading of the drive-by shootings, reading of the problems in the schools, reading of the economic woes, Lord, our hearts are prone to fret because of what's happening. Oh, Lord, turn our hearts towards thee that we might find that hope and that salvation that comes from you and you only. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever shall be. Great is thy faithfulness. That's the side that you want to look at if you're going to survive at all in the things that are happening in the world. You've got to just keep your eyes on God. And know that God is faithful, he is compassionate, he is merciful towards those that fear him and that love him. He's also faithful towards those who will not turn. And he will be faithful in judgment, just as he is faithful in righteousness. May the Lord be with you, and if you are on the wrong side of the fence, I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and get on the right side of the fence before you go home. Don't tax the patience of God any further. Don't rebel against the word of the Lord any longer. God is faithful. The Bible says that he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God said at the destruction of Jerusalem, until there was no remedy, God will exhaust every avenue of opportunity to show mercy. But when you get to the place where there's no remedy, then there only can be the faithfulness of God in judgment. Don't presume upon the mercy or the grace of God, but receive the mercy and the grace of God this day. In Jesus' name. The Lord